Hi, you're listening to Saints Unscripted.
Each episode is available to view on YouTube, so be sure to check us out.
We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Enjoy the show.
Somewhere along the conversation, she said that she's going to get married in a temple. Well, how do you know that your spouse someday will be Mormon or, you know, a member of your church? She didn't really respond to that. All she did is she turned around, looked me in the eye, and said, I'm getting married in the temple. And that's the first time I know I felt the Spirit.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Saints Unscripted. We are your hosts. I'm Alex.
And I'm Caitlin.
And today with us, we have Jake. And he's going to be telling us his conversion story. And we love a good conversion story here on Saints Unscripted.
So, we live for him.
Yes, we're super excited to have him on today. So welcome, Jake.
Thank you.
And so let's get started. Where does this all start for you?
Yeah, I guess we'll start later because just to get the background, I guess. So I grew up in a home of kind of mixed different faiths, all Christian, I guess, but my dad wasn't religious at all. My mom was Protestant, some sort of that. My stepfather was Catholic, and then my grandparents were Methodists. So I had a little bit of different religions there, but they didn't really raise me in any religion. I went to church every once in a while on like Christmas and Easter, stuff like that. But they didn't really talk about God at home too much. It was kind of like left, both me and my sister were left to form our own beliefs of what we wanted. So I think, like, I wouldn't say I came from a religious home, but, you know, each person had their own religious affiliation. So that gets me to when I'm about 18, 19 years old, I guess. So my grandfather had joined the LDS faith at one point, back in about 2000, 2001. And that was because he learned he was a relative or ancestor of Joseph Smith.
No way.
He became a state representative in New Hampshire, and they did his genealogy, and they said, oh, yeah, these are the notable people
you're related to. That is so interesting.
I was going to say, how did he find that out?
Yeah.
It was
through the government.
Yeah.
Like, interesting.
And so then his house is right around the corner from the meeting house in our hometown.
Wow.
So he's like, oh, I know that place. And so he went over and started talking to missionaries and stuff, and eventually joined the church.
Wow.
So he was LDS, but I knew nothing about his beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Other than like maybe going to a trunk or treat once or twice as a little kid, I really didn't know anything about his church building or anything.
Right?
I just knew where it was.
That's awesome.
So then when I came time to going to college, I had basically two options that I had narrowed down to. And that was one place called Franklin Pierce University, which had given me like a full ride scholarship, but it was up in the woods in New Hampshire. And the other one is called Merrimack College, and it's down in Massachusetts near the Boston area. And for some reason, I really felt strongly that I was supposed to go to Merrimack College. So I chose that one, and that's an Augustinian Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in, not really much Christianity background. You have to take so many Christianity classes, and I just squeaked by with those courses to pass. And then my late freshman year, the second semester of my freshman year, I got a call that my grandfather had passed away. Mm-hmm. So I went to his funeral, and it wasn't, with some policy differences he had with the church, he had actually been less active or inactive towards the end of his life, so mm-hmm. it wasn't held at a church building or anything, but he did have his bishop, Bishop Gray, who spoke there at his funeral. I remember something about what he said was like the first time it ever made me think about what happens after we die. And so I thought about that. I was curious of, you know, what happens to us after we die. And then I went back to school, was around my peers, and immediately forgot about it.
Do they talk about that in Catholic school at all? Like,
A little bit. It isn't just basic Christianity or, you know, Catholicism believes. But again, it's that kind of the dual places that you can go.
Maybe not as like in depth
a little bit
as
purgatory
like,
and stuff.
Plan of salvation, but yeah.
It wasn't like the plan of salvation. Wasn't, you know, about all of us returning to be with God and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing that takes place while I'm in school is my family comes from a long line of alcoholics, and I quickly noticed that I was becoming pretty dependent on it. It helped me be more social. I was a lot more introverted at the time, still somewhat am, and so I was noticing the dependency I had on it about that same time that my grandfather passed away, and so I wanted to do something about that. So to afford for school, I was working multiple jobs, mostly landscaping for some family friends and working at an ice cream place called Sub-Zero, which I know you guys have out here.
Yes, well, yeah, I love yeah.
So at the time, it yeah. just started there. Like, I was part of the people who, you know, pioneered it there.
Oh,
was,
really?
Yeah, it was the first branch in New England.
I really didn't know
out.
That.
Yeah.
That's kind
of
cool.
And that was actually started by members, which was funny enough, too. But
oh, seriously?
But yeah, that's where...
Oh, my gosh.
So that's kind of where my story starts there, is I'm working at Sub-Zero, and I decided to take on more time there to get me out of school when people were at parties and stuff, because I knew if I could mm-hmm. you know, get away,
smart.
It might be easier to not drink alcohol. So I'm working there a lot, and then my sophomore year, two other people start working there. One's named Tracy Cole, and the other one is Dan Aslett. And they were both members of the church. And just something about their whole demeanor was so different from every person I'd ever met in my life. They're so happy and optimistic, mm-hmm. enthusiastic. And so they start getting to know me, and I start trying to get to know them and understand what's so different about them. And quickly it goes to, they have this testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how close they feel to Christ. And I get to learn their beliefs. And eventually I think Tracy mentioned that she was LDS. And I said, oh, my grandfather was a member of that church. And so we kind of put the pieces together. But then what really interests me is when I found out they don't drink. And I was like, mm-hmm. okay, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, some people my age who don't drink, but they seem to have more fun than I ever did when I was drunk. So, so I didn't know what's going on there. So we just had a lot of talks like that at work. Whenever we'd work together, we'd just be talking about their beliefs and things like that. And as that grows, she started talking about temples. I don't really remember what got us to temples, but she started talking about temples and how to enter a temple, you have to live these certain standards. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere along the conversation, she said that she was going to get married in a temple. And I thought that was so interesting because as far as I knew, she wasn't seeing anyone. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, how do you know that your spouse someday will be Mormon or, you know, a member of your church
yeah.
more accurately? Mm-hmm. And she didn't really respond to that. All she did is she turned around and looked me in the eye and said, I'm getting married in the temple. And that's the first time I know I felt the spirit. Really? I was so sure about what she said.
Wow.
That it just hit me. I knew there's something special about temples.
Aww, that's amazing.
And so we continue on. She was awaiting a mission call. That's what actually had brought her out. She was at BYUI before, and she came home for the summer just to work and save some money for her mission.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And she was expecting her mission call in August, and that was her 19th birthday. And so her mission call shows up, and she learns two things. The first thing is she'd be serving in Spain Malaga mission, which she was excited about. The second part that she wasn't excited about is she wasn't supposed to report till December. So now she's wondering.
When was it?
And this month? Is August.
Oh,
so,
yeah. That's...
I had that long of a wait,
yeah.
too, when I got my mission call.
You're right.
And it felt so long.
Yes.
So
that seems long.
I get it.
The part that's tough for her is she had prayed about coming home first, and she felt directed to do that. But then she was out there, and she's like, I could have done a whole nother semester before December. Why mm-hmm. am I back in New England when I should be in Idaho mm-hmm. Continuing school? So that frustrated her a bit. Probably a week or two after that was the first time she invited me to church. Me and another co-worker of ours, she invited both of us, and we went, and it's a fast testimony meeting, and that's the second time I know I felt the Spirit. It's just the peace and happiness I had in that building I'd never been, or, you know, had been, but didn't really remember much. It was just so odd to me. I never felt like that before. About a week or two after that, we're hanging out, me, Tracy, and these other friends, and she said she had something for me. So she goes and retrieves this little blue book, and she gives it to me.
Dude, Tracy is awesome.
She's
amazing. So it's this little blue book, the Book of Mormon, and inside it, she had written her testimony of the book, and she had also highlighted and underlined multiple verses throughout the whole book that she thought would be meaningful to me. She'd been working on this for like the past month or two.
Wow.
Before then.
That's really thoughtful.
I love that.
Yeah, it's amazing. And if you ever get the chance to do that for someone, do it.
Helpful.
Yeah.
I never considered like thinking of the person and then finding verses for them.
Because typically it's just, introducing the book to them.
Right.
You don't ever like make it more meaningful.
Especially if you can write your testimony in the front.
Yeah.
You know, when that person's reading the book, if they can just flip back to your testimony, it's like you're right there testifying the book for them over and over again.
Oh man, I love that.
But the other thing about me is I hate reading. I've always had a difficulty reading. I don't know if I'm dyslexic or anything like that, but I can't read too fast or it jumbles up mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And so I usually avoid reading. Mm-hmm. But I remember getting home that night after she gave me that book and just starting off. And the introduction was really interesting to me because I studied biology in school. And the whole introduction of the Book of Mormon is kind of like phrased like a hypothesis, like an experiment. And it kind of tells you, this is what you're supposed to do. And if you do this, you should expect this result. Mm-hmm. And that really interests me. It's like, okay, time to experiment. And so the other thing is my school's motto, Merrimack College's motto is Tule Lege, which means take up and read. It's all St. Augustine. He received an impression to do that about the Bible one time, and that kind of pulled him out of his rebelliousness. So I'm like, all right, let's take up and read and see what's going on. And I read several chapters that night. Like, I read through the whole night, pretty much. Unfortunately for me, that's only like 7 or 8 chapters. But, you know, I couldn't put it down. One day as I'm reading, I realized I didn't feel like it was this like peculiar book anymore. I felt like it was a history book. Like it was like verified truth. Like I'm reading to know what happened to these people. This is an actual record of ancient America. So I got down, prayed again, and then I immediately tried to kind of reframe my mind, get back to the paradigm of like investigation. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't do it. I felt too sure that this was true. Wow. And then I realized there were verses around the same time that kept saying that, you know, the prophets was like, cry out of the dust, I think it says, or something mm-hmm. like that. It says it several times in 2 Nephi. And that just hit me. I was like, yeah, I know as certainly as I do now, if it's like Lehi and Nephi appeared before me and told me this book was true, I know as certainly as that. So I'm like, okay, I believe in the book, so now I need to repent and start changing, become more like Christ.
And I just want to point out, that's amazing that you were able to take all this just from reading the Book of Mormon.
Oh, yeah.
You're like understanding what the Book of Mormon is asking you to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's really cool. And you're like, okay, next step, like, repent. And like the missionaries aren't there telling you.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, you're just learning this from the Book of Mormon, which anyway, you can continue now. I just thought that was really cool.
Again, I was really getting into it. The Book of Mormon is like the center of my conversion and always will be. Like, that's what my testimony is based off of. So the missionaries kept trying to meet with me. But with the work and school and everything, I never had the time. So I kept telling them that. And as a missionary, you get that. And you're like, this person's not interested. You know, they're blowing us off. And but they were the most amazing elders ever. So they would still show up in my work like 10 minutes before I was supposed to start and be like, all right, what can we talk about? So they never gave up. And it's great that they did that. Around the same time, you know, I have this testimony of the Book of Mormon. I'm trying to learn more and I'm trying to repent. And one of those things is actually quitting drinking. So I'm really working on that. And I noticed, this is the third time I can really say I tried to quit really hard, and it wasn't that hard this time around. Mm. I noticed that's because a lot of the other things I was changing in my life, like, you know, just to repent and become more like Christ, when you're changing the whole fabric of your life, this little thing that plays a part in it just falls out. Mm-hmm. And so that was a lot easier. So let's say October, you know, about that time frame, Tracy and I actually started going on some dates and stuff. We got into one another, but we also, like, set the expectation out right. We're like, she's going on a mission in December, so it's for fun. When we hit November, I had an interesting lesson with the missionaries where the elder who had stayed around, so the transfer had just happened, and the elder who had sticked around had to go on splits. I think he was doing a baptismal interview somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so I had the new elder who I'd never met before, and say I'm a member of our ward doing the lesson. And the elder is doing like that footprint thing, you know, where you put like on the one for like faith, one for repentance, baptism. I don't know if you ever seen that.
Oh, yeah, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's talking about the steps, and I'm like, well, I know I have faith. Like, I know I got that one because I got my answer from the Book of Mormon. I'm on repentance. And now the next step is baptism. So now I'm like really contemplating, should I be getting baptized? And the elder felt prompted to invite me to be baptized. And even though that was like a very novel thing to me, I just knew in my heart, like at that same moment, spirit just, you know, burning the chest type of experience, I said yes. And then for the whole rest of the day afterwards, I was like, what did I say yes to? But no one in my life had any problem with the fact that I was investigating the church up until that point.
Okay. Then it like became more real for everyone.
Once you were committing. The second I told people I'm getting baptized, everyone in my life who had no problem with me reading the Book of Mormon, had no problem with me going to church or any of these things, is saying, are you sure about this? Like, do you want to do this? And the biggest thing was, you're just doing this for Tracy. You know, obviously, I get where people get that assumption. But the more people tell you stuff, the more you start to
question a little bit. You're like, wait.
Yeah, totally.
So I got really concerned. I started, like, praying a lot about that. Because I don't like to quit things. I know if I want to, you know, follow Jesus Christ and take this path, I want to make sure I'm going to stick with it. And one night, as I'm at my bedside praying really hard, I'm like, God, just give me a sign that I'll stick with this, that I'm doing this for the right reason. I just felt prompted to just take the book and open it. I open it. I'm on Alma 23. And there's one verse highlighted on this page that Tracy must have highlighted at some point. And the verse says, and as sure as the Lord liveth, so sure as many as believed, or as many were brought to the knowledge of the truth, through the preaching of Ammon and his brethren, according to the spirit of revelation and prophecy, and the power of God working miracles in them. Yea, I say unto you, as the Lord liveth, as many of the Lamanites has believed in their preaching, and were converted unto the Lord, never did fall away. And this was like the exact verse I needed.
It talks about
the preaching of Ammon and his brother. I could easily say Tracy and her friends. You know, the spirit of revelation, I know I had received that, or I had a testimony of that. And so everything was there, and then it said, never did fall away. And that was the exact answer to what I had said in my prayer. I was like, why not? I'm never going to fall away.
So cool. Wow.
And so after that, I was like, forget what everyone's saying. I'm getting back to this.
Which, by the way, I wanted to point that out, too. I love that you fell back on prayer, too, because it would have been so easy for you to just be like, oh, you know, maybe they're right. Like you said, the more people say it, the more you start to believe it. But I love that you fell back on your faith and what you knew and the experiences you've had, and you were able to come out of it.
Yeah.
I love that.
So I got baptized on December 5th, so shortly after that.
Was that before Tracy left?
So this is less than 2 weeks before she left.
Okay.
December 16th was her report date. So it was great. She got to be there. She spoke. So did Zan, one of the other members. I talked about working there. Everyone who was there played an integral part. But I got baptized. It was interesting. Like, I had some of my family there. And one of the parts that will always stick with me is after I got baptized, came out. My mom gave me this hug, and she said, I'm so glad your kids will grow up with this. And that was really weird for a lot of reasons. Is one, my mom, wasn't a member, still isn't a member, so she didn't believe. I didn't have kids. I wasn't married, any of that. So I was like, is this the strangest comment? But I think, she really just felt the spirit in the moment, and she knew this is a good place to be, and she still feels that way. Like, she loves the church as much as she's a member of it.
Probably because she saw a positive change.
Absolutely. Totally. So that will just always stick with me. That memory was so special. And then we got to go to the temple to do baptisms the week after, because we wanted to go with everyone before Tracy left. And so the others were able to come with us too, and it was really powerful experience. Again, I went to the temple and felt kind of what I felt like going to church for the first time, but even greater. And so that was just fantastic. And then Tracy left on her mission. And so it continues. But the one last thing I want to mention about my story is I was able to request my grandfather's patriarchal blessing after I joined the church, after I received my own.
Really?
I realized I had to request his. And he, even though he was an active member at the end of his life, he got really into family history. He did a lot of family history. When I go in and clean down his office, it was just full of genealogy charts and stuff like that. And he was still submitting names for temple work, even though he wasn't going himself. And so there's a promise in his patriarchal blessing that said if he did family history and temple work, his family on this side of the veil would receive the gospel also. Mm-hmm. And so it's so cool to read that and see that promise fulfilled in me, and hopefully more of our family at some point. At least my children and all his descendants that way. It was just so cool to see that promise fulfilled, even though maybe he didn't hold on to all the other ones, but he saw that one through.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that just gave me the
chance. I know, right? That's beautiful.
Do you have any advice for anyone who might be in a position similar to you?
Mm-hmm. And actually, I was going to ask a question very similar to that. If you could go back in time to your younger self, what advice would you give yourself? So I don't know if that's two different things.
Oh, you know what?
So that part, I didn't know if that was two different answers or what. But
so
anyway,
that's a great question. And I received a question similar to that when I was home teaching one time. We were home teaching this family, and the teenage daughter said, do you wish you had joined the church earlier in your life or grown up in the church? And what I can confidently say is if I had grown up in the church, I would have fallen away from the church. And I would not have been prepared to join the church earlier in my life. Like I said, there's all this stuff. Like, the conversion story doesn't start there. Mm-hmm. It starts way before. And there's so many other things that led me to being prepared.
Yeah.
In my youth, I would not have read that Book of Mormon. If someone gave me that book, I would have ignored it completely.
Mm-hmm.
If I had grown up a member, I would have been like, what's all this partying stuff like? And I would have wanted to try that. But because I was coming from the other way out, I think I was prepared at that moment. I was prepared for those people. It had to be the way it was. I don't think there's any other way. And God knows that. And that's, things are orchestrated for that reason. He puts those people around us at those moments. It's when we're ready. And I guess the advice I give is member missionaries are so important. Like, if it wasn't for Tracy and Zan and Melanie and all these other members, I wouldn't join the church. As fantastic as our elders were, I think they were the best. But they couldn't teach me at midnight like Tracy and Zan could. They only had this window that they can teach me during. And unfortunately, I'm busy during that window too, because I have school and work and all these things. But I can chat with Tracy at midnight over text or whatever, and she can send me the restoration video to watch it 10 p.m. at night. Totally. And all these things, like memory missionaries are so important. I mm-hmm. think we sometimes don't realize how important we are. And if you can, you know, get a Book of Mormon, put your testimony in it, highlight some verses, that's so powerful too. So all these things that members can do just make the difference.
I know. I think sometimes we think people aren't listening or aren't paying attention.
Yeah, that too.
And like, and maybe won't care, like in what right. we have to say yeah. about our religion or, but I think it's quite the opposite. Well, and a lot of the time. Maybe mm-hmm. sometimes people don't care. But then there are the people that do.
Right.
Just share it. There's nothing, no harm will come of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there is a cute, happy ending to the story. You guys did.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah. yeah so,
we almost skipped over that. Yeah. So
Tracy and I kept in touch on our mission. When she returned, we did get engaged and got sealed in the Boston Temple. Mm-hmm. And now we have two kids, one Milo, who's 3, and Wesley, who's almost 9 months now. And we're just the missionaries for them.
Oh,
I love it.
Thank you so much, Jake, for sharing your story with
us
today. We're really glad that you made it out here, that you're in Utah, and we're able to do this episode and share your story. Everyone, if you have questions and comments, please let us know in the comment section. We love you all, and we'll see you next time.
See you.
Thanks for listening.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube.
And you can message us on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok. Bye!